Thank you, William. I was thinking it's interesting to be in a presentation where we're not judging graduate students, so maybe all the graduate students can judge us for a change. So the project that I'm going to talk about is really looking at organic fertilizers that can be used in hydroponic production of spinach and basil. And just as a little bit of background, spinach is one of the valuable leafy green crops in the U.S., almost entirely field-produced with a $282 million wholesale farm gate value. And 689 pounds fresh spinach produced. With basil, I couldn't find wholesale farm gate value numbers, but I did find some retail information for herbs as a group. So about $800 million of retail value in the U.S. for herbs, with basil being the most popular herb. So there's organic hydroponic production is allowed by the National Organic Program. However, we see as a bottleneck issues related to the organic fertilizers that are allowed materials to use in that production. And we've seen issues with biofilm, with microbes that digest these more complex compounds down into plant available nutrients, and then trying to match the nutrient supply to plant demands. If one could overcome these problems, there would be, we think, a niche market with a higher price point, and there could be some environmental benefits which would allow us to use renewable nutrient forms in hydroponics. And so the overriding objective of this project really came to us as a sponsored project from Clearwater Organic Farms that has production currently in Illinois and is expanding into New York. And they're assessing the feasibility of hydroponic, initially it was baby leaf spinach, and then they expanded that to basil production, yield and plant response, all while complying with federal organic standards. And so the more specific objectives were to determine the impact of a kind of industry standard conventional fertilizer to different organic fertilizers on yield and elemental content. We did this in deep water culture hydroponics, which is what the sponsor wanted, and then this was done over three sequential crop cycles. So the idea being you're not completely draining a pond and starting with new nutrients, but you want to just supplement for the water loss in a pond and just add in new nutrient solution without having to drain and rebuild that nutrient solution. We wanted to also see if microbial inoculants, either from a more natural form like vermicompost extract, would affect yield and nutrient availability. And then I'll talk about the second experiment, which was a follow-up experiment, which had basil and spinach, and we had two different organic fertilizers and two different microbial inoculants. So for the first experiment, this one focused on using spinach. This is baby leaf spinach grown in styrofoam rafts that have 40 cells each, and then we had two of those 40-cell rafts per 35-liter hydroponic tub. The seeds were sown with one seed every square inch, so the density is 1,550 plants per square meter, and that was in a soilless organic substrate. These plants were went through a initial imbibition stage where the seeds were imbibed with water for 12 hours before sowing in substrate for another 2.5 days, and then floated on hydroponic ponds for 13 days. The growth chamber conditions gave us, in the end, 17 moles of light per meter squared per day at a constant temperature of 22 degrees Celsius. There was daily addition of nutrient solution, which was just to make up for water loss by the plant, as well as EC measurements and then pH adjustment in some of the treatments, which I'll mention. And this was for three consecutive crop cycles. The fertilizer materials that we used in the experiment, our control was a Sonneveld's nutrient solution, a leafy greens solution that's been used for decades by our CEA group at Cornell. The organic material that we used in the first experiment is HydroSur, which is a Chinese-based product that's a seaweed fertilizer material, and we used it at two concentrations, the label rate, which is a 1 to 400 dilution, and then we also tried it at double the label rate. The so-called microbial inoculant that we looked at was vermicompost extract from a New York producer And I'll talk about it. We used it at two different concentrations by volume. But what this is really referring to is they have an original preparation, which is made at one part vermicompost to 40 parts water by weight. And then of that finished extract, we used it at 10% by volume in the nutrient solution. And then they had a new material that is a more concentrated extract. And so then we use that at only 5% by volume. And in the end, specifically, there were these eight different fertilizer treatments that we looked at. So our control was the Sonneveld solution, which had pH control. Then we looked at control with the original preparation of vermicompost extract, the control plus the new concentrated vermicompost extract. Treatment four was the organic hydroponic fertilizer, HydroSer, with no pH control. Standard pH control would use like nitric or sulfuric acid. Those are not allowed in organic production. You can use citric acid or acetic acid. Citric would be most commonly used by these organic hydroponic producers. Apparently, though, it makes kind of a gel or mucilaginous nutrient solution when combined with HydroSer. So they recommended not to use pH control. Then our fifth treatment was the double strength organic hydroponic fertilizer, the HydroSer, and then we had the standard strength organic HydroSer fertilizer with either the new preparation of vermicompost extract or the original formula of vermicompost extract. And then finally, we looked at the effect of conventional pH control, so using nitric acid to control pH down to 5.8 with the organic HydroSer fertilizer. And this is just a look at the experimental timeline with the three different sequential harvest cycles. And these were the daily electrical conductivity measurements for the eight different treatments where we did have pH control. This is EC. One of the things to note here is that we did see a bit of an overall decline in EC. Which would suggest that the plants are using up nutrients at slightly higher concentration than they are taking up fertilizer. So EC is trending downward a bit over time. When we did replace nutrient solution every day, it was not to an EC target. It was just replacing it with the standard strength of whatever that nutrient treatment was. And then the one case where we did see an increase in electrical conductivity was in the organic fertilizer treatment that had conventional pH control. So essentially what we found is we had to add a fairly large dose of nitric acid every day to overcome the high pH of that material. And so we did see an increase in EC over time. In terms of pH, a couple take-home points was where we controlled pH every day by hand. We were able to obtain pHs right around 5.8 to 6.2. Several of the treatments we did not have pH control, and so the starting pH of these materials, or when combined together with the vermicompost extract, was between 7.5 and 8, which we think of as higher than optimal for hydroponic production. But I want to point out these two dips in pH. The organic treatment that had the original vermicompost extract preparation, we started to see a dramatic decline in pH at about 15 days into the experiment, versus the other organic treatments. It took till about 30 days before we started to see a dramatic decrease in pH. And what we associated that with is when nitrification, so the conversion of ammonium to nitrate, was really starting to take place at high levels. And so it would appear from this that nitrification occurred about 15 days earlier with this original vermicompost extract formulation. And then in terms of the plant fresh weight, instead of showing you the eight different treatments together over the three crop cycles, I'll show you a few different comparisons. And I apologize for the box plots, which can be kind of distracting. The main thing to look at, I think, would just be the mean. And then we compared the treatments for each crop cycle to their control counterpart. And what we found is that vermicompost extract, when applied to the conventional fertilizer, did not impact plant fresh weight. So it did not provide an additional benefit beyond the conventional fertilizer. For the in terms of the pH control treatment for the organic fertilizer, so we have the control would be the group on the left. In the middle is fresh weight under the organic fertilizer treatment, which you see is much lower than the control. And then we see that that the organic fertilizer plus pH control did provide comparable yields to the control for the first growth cycle, but then after that, it did not. We saw these decreases in yield similar to the standard organic treatment. And then looking at the various organic treatments and comparing them to the conventional fertilizer for organic and then organic with the new vermicompost extract preparation, essentially there were statistically lower yields than conventional for all three crop cycles. Interestingly, for the treatment that had organic plus the original vermicompost extract, we did see that by the third crop cycle, yield was statistically similar to the conventional treatment. So it could be that after enough time and microbial community processing nutrients that we could achieve similar yields to conventional. These bar graphs are ammonium and then nitrate and nitrite nitrogen in some of the specific treatments over time. And one of the things that I want to point out, so the top bars are the control and then the control with the different vermicompost extract preparations, which had quite similar nitrogen concentrations over time. In the bottom, we have organic on the left and then organic plus the two different vermicompost treatments on the right. And the point that I mentioned with pH and nitrification, we also see this decline in ammonium concentration over time when we had the vermicompost additions. So it did look like they were effective in kind of inoculating with a nitrifying community. And then in the last a couple of minutes here, the follow-up experiment was that the sponsor wanted us to also look at baby leaf basil in this system, and they wanted us to look at an additional fertilizer product, which was Preempt organic fertilizer, which is a molasses-based fertilizer, and then a commercial microbial inoculant. So instead of a kind of naturally made material, Terrabella is a commercial microbial inoculant. And so we had a control. We had our organic HydroSir with no pH control to see how things compared to the previous crop cycle, and then the organic Preempt fertilizer, either with or without Terrabella microbial inoculant. And this is spinach. These data are in terms of relative fresh weight, and what we see again is that the organic fertilizer treatments did not perform as well as the control. In the second cycle, Preempt performed better than HydroSir, and for some reason in the third cycle, HydroSir performed better than Preempt. And the benefit of Terrabella was, there was an evidence, so Preempt performed poorly in the third crop cycle, but the commercial microbial inoculant improved performance. And then in terms of basil relative fresh weight, in the first crop cycle, basil was less responsive to fertilizer treatment than spinach, and actually the organic treatments performed as well statistically as the control treatment. And then in subsequent treatments, Preempt in the second crop cycle, and interestingly, HydroSir in the third crop cycle did performed statistically the same as the control. So some final conclusions. HydroSir with a 10% amendment of the original Worm Power vermicompost extract seemed to be a feasible organic nutrient solution, at least for that third crop cycle when there was that stabilization period. We talked about nitrification. Basil may be easier to fertilize organically than spinach. And we would propose more follow-up work before any of these practices were adopted commercially, such as larger scale-up experiments, looking at what's actually happening to the microbial community and doing experiments with preconditioning of the organic fertilizer before it's actually reaching the plant's roots. And with that, I'll thank our project sponsors and the two graduate students that really did the work of this project. Thank you.
We'll have time for one short question. you notice any problem with phosphorus uptake when we use citric acid to augment your pH?
Okay, the question is with phosphorus uptake and citric acid. So we actually did not use citric acid in this experiment because the manufacturer of the organic fertilizer said that it would cause a gel if the two were combined. So we only used nitric acid, which is a conventional acid that we could use with some of our specific treatments. Okay, and I'll be around after if there's subsequent questions.